Welcome to the Breakthrough Success Podcast, helping you achieve that breakthrough you've always been looking for in your business. And now your host, Mark Gubertie.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gubertie, and this is the podcast for marketers and small business owners who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. I am very excited about this show. For episode 59 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about how to delegate various tasks in our businesses with our guest, Nathan Hirsch. Nathan has bootstrapped two multi-million dollar businesses, which he runs to this day. His first business, Portlight, an Amazon store with over $20 million worth of product sales, emerged from his college dorm room. At Portlight's peak, Nathan and his team were managing over 500,000 products on their store from over 1,000 dropship suppliers. Nathan's second business, FreeUp.com, is a hiring marketplace specialized for e-commerce business owners. FreeUp.com now services over 2,000 online businesses and is on pace to hit $3 to $4 million in 2017. And now it is my pleasure to welcome Nathan to the show.
Mark, thanks so much for having me.
Nathan, it is a pleasure to have you, and I really look forward to taking our deep dive into delegation, but I feel like people, they come across this concept in different ways. So when did you first realize that you needed to delegate some of your tasks?
Well, it started off as a young entrepreneur when I was a broke college student, and I experimented with Amazon and grew a multi-million dollar Amazon business. And then I was hit with my first busy season, and I didn't really know what to expect. But it kind of fell at the same time as finals, so I was totally overwhelmed. I was filling every order, answering every customer service email. And when I somehow survived and got to January, it was like, okay, let's make sure that doesn't happen again. And that's really when I got serious about hiring and made some incredible hires. My business partner, Connor, who's been working with me for 8 years, and a lot of bad hires as well. And as we continued to grow, the need to delegate just became more and more as more things got added to my plate.
And I can obviously see how the business grows and scales. You need to be fulfilling more of those roles to other people so you can focus on other areas, but it's easy to just find a site and hire people. So what inspired you to start FreeUp.com?
Sure. So when I first started hiring, it was a lot of employees, and that was great. But a buddy on my softball team told me about the Upworks of the world, that I could hire these remote workers. And I thought it was a great idea. I could use it to really complement my internal team, because if you hire an employee for $50,000 a year, they might spend 40% of their time doing small tasks that you could hire someone much cheaper to do. So that was the original concept. So I started hiring all these Filipino workers and having some incredible experiences, always some bad ones as well, and come up with what I call my VA army. And so from there, as I was hiring, I realized that my time quickly went from what I liked doing, which was expanding the business, creating systems and processes, sales, to stuff that was useful, but I didn't really love doing it, the HR side of it, the interviews, the tests, the culture, all that kind of stuff. So while I had come up with this really good process, it was just taking up way too much of my time. And when I talked to other business owners, especially Amazon sellers in the community, I realized that they were having the exact same kind of issues that I was having. So I started vetting these workers and making them available to other Amazon sellers, and they really loved that they got fast access to VAs, whether they were low level, mid level, or expert level, and got to skip that process. And they came back for more. Hey, do you have bookkeepers? Do you have graphic designers? Do you have people who can do Facebook ads? And we really grew out from there to create FreeUp the way it is today, where it's a marketplace that we get hundreds of applicants every week. We vet them for skill, for attitude, and the most important thing, communication. And then once they're in the top 1%, we make them available to clients first come, first serve.
It's an interesting approach where you just don't take anyone who says, okay, I'd love to do some work. You are consciously making sure that the people on FreeUp are going to deliver at the highest potential.
Exactly. And that's where a lot of people go wrong after the hire. There are some people that are pretty good at hiring, and they put someone through a process And they don't remember that after the hire, that's when the real tests begin. As a business owner, hiring is an investment. It's an investment of your money, your time, your energy. So when you make an investment into someone, you need to look for those red flags early. In the first week, the first day, the first hour, are they going against the things that they told you in the interview? If so, you need to cut bait. You need to jump ship before you invest even more of your time and money into them. And a lot of people don't do that. So yes, we have a great process for the initial part of it, the skill, attitude, communication, but after it is just as important. And that's why we bring a lot of content to the table to help clients, whether it's the testing, the onboarding, the building the culture, building the structure of the business, to just motivating them and getting the most out of them and reducing turnover, because it's all skills that you can apply to all parts of your business, whether you're hiring employees or contractors or virtual assistants. And it's a skill they really don't teach in school, at least no class that I took.
Nathan, thank you for sharing with us what inspired you to start FreeUp, and also for the interesting insight where people will make the hire but then not do any follow-up, which is definitely something that we should be doing. But before we even think about hiring, we have to be clear on what we want to hire people for. So how exactly can we determine what tasks we need to delegate?
Sure. So you'll hear me say this a lot, and because I get client phone calls all the time. They're like, hey, I'm working 80 hours a week. I do everything. I'm totally overwhelmed. I don't even know where to begin. So my advice is to get away from the computer, which is hard even for me, but spend a day at a lake, at a beach, at a park, with a piece of paper and a pencil, and write down everything you do on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. Put it in order from easiest to hardest, and then start at the bottom at the easiest and start taking it, those things off your plate. On the flip side of that, another important list to make is a list of all your strengths and weaknesses. And if you have a business partner like me, I recommend involving him in the conversation, because you'll find where you guys complement each other, where you guys overlap or don't overlap, but you'll also come up with a list of things that both of you just are not good at. And those are great places to hire either mid-level or expert-level workers to quickly turn weaknesses into strengths, because a lot of people don't know what their weaknesses are until they put it on paper. And it's one of the easiest things that you can just hire someone for and quickly turn into a strength that'll help you against your competition.
And that is a really great strategy for not only being able to deal with your weaknesses, turn them into strengths, but also to focus more time on your strengths. But as you hire people, I mean, you've mentioned before, you've had some good hires, you've had some bad hires. And I know that when you have a bad hire, it takes more time for you to initially micromanage the person and then eventually say that this isn't working. So obviously we can't avoid bad hires all the time, but based on your experience of delegating various tasks and hiring a lot of people, what are some ways that we could avoid a bad hire?
Yeah, so a lot of people, they vet for the skill. And skill is a very tough thing to vet for. But a lot of times you'll have people with years of experiences, with references. And so as someone just looking objectively, a lot of times you can figure out who's talented and who's not. And what's important there is you know who's a 5 out of 10 and who's at a 10 out of 10. Where people go wrong is they only focus on the skill and they don't focus on the other two important parts, the attitude and the communication. So when I'm talking about attitude, the best example I can describe is I hate doing QuickBooks. I don't know if you like doing QuickBooks. I personally hate it. It's a least favorite thing. But if I hire someone to do my QuickBooks, they need to love doing QuickBooks as much as I like being an entrepreneur, as much as I like building systems and processes and sales. So that's the kind of passion and attitude I'm looking for. We've all worked with someone before that has a bad outlook on life, someone who's negative every day, they constantly have bad days. That's a cancer in your business. Even if they're just a contractor working on a one-time graphic design project, you don't want that within 100 yards of your company. So what you really want to do is focus on people who love what they do. They're not just in it for the paycheck. They love their skill. They like defining their skill, and they're positive to everyone around them. Now, I mentioned attitude's important. Communication is way more important than that. We have 15 pages of communication guidelines that workers have to memorize and get tested on, because we know that almost all bad business relationships come down to a break in communication. And at the basic level, the workers need to speak your same language. But at a more advanced level, they need to be able to give estimates. They need to be able to hit deadlines. If their house is burning down, if they have some kind of family emergency, they need to at least send you a text message or update one of my assistants who will inform the client, somehow get a hold of that person, because the last thing that anyone wants to do is chase someone across the world to try to get a hold of them, and no one really has time for that. So communication is key at all aspects, and that's really where a lot of people go wrong in hiring. They're just focused on one or two instead of all three, the skills, attitude, and the communication.
I feel like most people focus on the skills side when they're hiring. It's can you do X really well? And if so, I'll probably hire you. But attitude and communication are definitely two very important points, which I'm really happy that you shared with all the Breakthrough Success listeners. But I was wondering if you could go into more detail about how we can find people who have a good attitude and strong communication, because people normally focus on the skills when they're writing their job, like when they're submitting their application. So can you share with us how we would find good attitudes and easy with communication?
Yeah, so a lot of people, in my opinion, they do interviews backwards. I once took a college course on how to do interviews. It didn't teach me how to do the work properly. It just told me how to pass an interview. So people ask all these standard interview questions, and they look for those standard responses, and they're like, this person sounds really good, let's hire them. When really, you should be doing the opposite. All your questions should be tricks. They're traps. You're looking for red flags. What is this person saying that might mean they don't have the skill that they say they do? What's this person saying that shows they might not be passionate about what they do, or they might have a different priority? What is this person saying that might be a communication red flag that could come down to bite me in the future? So really designing your questions to vet and pull out red flags is the most important part of that interview process. And it's something that we have an incredible process. It's very long, and it's worth it, but it takes a lot of time. And it's something that's very proprietary to what we do. But for someone hiring maybe an employee or someone outside, really focus on interview questions that can pull something out. And I'll give you one example of it, and we can move on. So we ask people to rank their skills from 1 to 10 and tell us what their best skills are. And from that answer, you can tell a lot about someone. If someone has 6 months of experience and they're ranking themselves a 10 out of 10, that's a red flag. If someone has 5 years of experience and they're a 4 out of 10, that's a red flag. And you can kind of read between the lines on how someone answers that question, especially the why part of that question, will really let you know, hey, is this person honest about what they can and can't do? So designing questions like that is key.
And it is really interesting what kind of a response you can get based on the questions that you ask. It's similar to being a podcast host, where I'm basically writing all these questions in advance to basically get guests like you to provide as many great insights as possible, which we have been doing very well so far throughout this episode, in my personal biased opinion. But one of the things with hires is, okay, you get the person's hired, that person goes into your company. And I feel like people think, okay, this person has a skill, this person's going to do it, I'm set. But I feel people forget about the training part. So how can we train our new hires so that they are ready to implement?
Yeah, so a lot of it is setting expectations up front. So what we do is we have a client expectations doc. It's free. It's optional. Clients are welcome to use it. And it really outlines, hey, these are my goals. This is where you should be at this point. These are the different people in the team. Here's who you go to for what question. Here are my pet peeves. Here's how you communicate. It's a whole bunch of stuff. And it really helps you lay it out and create those systems and processes. The other side of it is really coming up with how you structure things. So I'm not a big fan of doing one-on-one training sessions or one-on-one onboarding sessions. First of all, as a business owner, I just don't have the time for that unless it's to like wrap it up or really answer any last questions and get started. So coming up with training guides, training videos, things that people can reference back to, because even the best virtual assistant, the best employee, the best contractor in the world can't remember every little thing that happens, especially when they're meeting a new client and they have other clients and stuff's just going to get lost. So providing things where that you can go back and reference is incredibly important, along with a step-by-step outline, along with, hey, by the end of week one, we're going to complete this. By the end of week two, we're going to have completed this. Having structure, having deadlines that you can follow and the worker can actually set goals instead of just being like, oh, you'll be trained when you're trained, is a much better strategy, in my opinion.
And when we think about delegation, I feel a lot of us think about saving time and just removing this task. But when you look at some forms of delegation, it could also bring in a lot of revenue. So one of the questions I have is, well, how exactly can we turn delegation into revenue generation?
I'll give you an example for my lead gen team. So we have a lead gen team that reaches out to podcasts. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's how we got on this one. And they do their due diligence and they reach out to business owners and influencers. And that's something that I did for the first 6 months of FreeUp. FreeUp's new. No one knows who we are. I need to be the person reaching out and trying to get that done. But what I was able to do is delegate that to a team of VAs who are incredible. They do an awesome job. It wasn't an easy process. I had to teach them a lot of tricks. I had to tweak them as we continue to go on, because they might put something in a list that, hey, maybe that's not a good podcast for me to be on, but they might not know it until we have a conversation about it. So I'm constantly teaching, constantly tweaking, constantly trying and trial and erroring new things. But now that I have this team good to go, that's what, an hour or two of my day that I get back that I can focus more on marketing, more on dealing with new clients, more on building systems that'll help keep clients there and get repeat business. So by taking that one thing off my plate and freeing up an hour or two of my day, I'm able to open up the possibility of getting additional clients in different ways, and really focus on expanding my business. And if you have multiple companies, same thing applies. Everyone wants to be that serial entrepreneur. They want to own multiple businesses. Well, guess what? You don't own three companies by working inside three companies. It doesn't work like that. You have to delegate and take stuff off your plate so you get the time back to achieve whatever goals you're trying to accomplish.
Nathan, thank you for sharing with us how we can generate revenue as we continue to delegate more of our tasks. And in the long term, obviously, this is an amazing opportunity because you can, as you say before, become the serial entrepreneur by not working in all of those companies, but having them delegated. But in the short term, you have to spend a lot of time with the freelancers, the employees, depending on which word you prefer, for basically training them and communication. So how are you able to continue to grow your business while managing all of your freelancers?
Sure. So quick correction, the freelancers are the contractors, employees are something different. But with that, you have to look at it small by small, little by little. So you, when you're going about it, especially for someone hiring for the first time, especially someone without a big budget, you don't have to hire a team of four people and have them work each 20, 30 hours a week for you. You start off by getting hours in your day back. You hire someone to answer your emails in the morning, so you don't have to spend the time to do it. What, does that take you a week to get someone trained to do it? Probably less. And you get that extra hour back. And it's all about making an investment. You have to look at it as an investment. And so many business owners are not doing that. So that's how I was able to do it. I slowly took stuff off my plate little by little. Every week I had a goal. Hey, take this off my plate. Get this. Get someone else doing this. And it becomes addicting. It's pretty fun, actually. It's relieving. I remember the first time I woke up and I was like, wow, I don't have to answer customer emails from my Amazon store anymore. And before you know it, within 6 months, you've got all your time back to focus on expansion, and a lot of times much faster than that. So, if you don't know where to start, I encourage you to take just the smallest things off your plate and give them to other people. Use it as a trial and error. No one has 100% success rate when it comes to hiring, but it's going to lead to so much more opportunity in the future.
And you mentioned something really interesting as you wake up saying, wow, I don't have to do this anymore. And I'm sure you've said this for a variety of tasks that you've had to perform for your businesses. But I feel that it's possible where you delegate so much where you're at a state of, well, what am I supposed to do right now? I mean, I have the priority in front of me, but there are other things that I think I should be doing also. So how are you able to preserve your hustle as you continue to delegate more tasks?
Yeah, great question. So for me, my mindset is sales, marketing, and expansion. If I'm doing tasks that are fall under the sales, marketing, expansion, I'm happy. I'm content. And there will be a certain point when you get big enough where, like right now, I answer a lot of client calls. I deal directly with the clients, where that probably will get taken off my plate. But for the majority of entrepreneurs, if you could focus on the sales and marketing expansion and get the other stuff off your plate and even hire some people to help with the sales marketing expansion, that will put you on the right path forward. It's when you get caught up in the other things, the bookkeeping, the customer service, the graphic design projects, the managing your Facebook pages. That's when you kind of go off rail and your business can stall. So if there are things, let's one more point that I forgot. What's the point of being an entrepreneur if you don't like what you're doing, right? So if there's something in your business that you really love doing, that's what you live for, do it. Who am I to tell you not to? I mean, you work hard, you're an entrepreneur, you can do it. And maybe just focus on taking things off your plate that you don't like doing, because that'll help you be happier and eventually get more success in whatever way you look in success. But if you're a business owner and you're trying to grow your company as big and as fast as possible, then you really need to be focusing on the sales, the marketing, and the expansion.
Nathan, thank you for sharing with us how we can preserve that sense of hustle as we continue to delegate more tasks. And the final question for this particular segment of this episode, when you do hire people for delegation, is it better to hire several part-time freelancers or a full-time freelancer?
Great question. I actually was just on the phone with a client before, kind of explaining my side. So many entrepreneurs, they fall into that trap because they've made bad hiring decisions before. They know how time consuming it is, that they finally get that one freelancer that they really like, or even that one employee, whatever it is, and they just load them up with everything. And I actually had that happen to me once. And I tell this story a lot when I'm speaking. I trained someone up for 6 months so I could take my first vacation in a year and a half. Took my vacation. On day one, I got a phone call that they quit, and two other phone calls that weren't that great either, about losing a supplier and having my identity stolen. So it was a really rough day. But I rebounded from that, and I learned from that to diversify. If you're running an e-commerce store, have one person doing orders, have one person doing customer service, have one person optimizing listings, because it's so much easier to replace one person and make sure you're all protected. And that's not to mean that everyone in your team is expandable, and sometimes you can't afford to do multiple people, but it you need to be smart about it. I had a client recently that was like, I want a Filipino customer service rep for 7 days a week, 2 hours a day, or whatever hours a day it was. And I was like, okay, I mean, you're the client, I'm happy to provide it. But I mean, wouldn't it be a much better idea to have one person work 3 days and one person work 4 days? Generally, it's going to cost you about the same. Yes, there's a little extra training, but at the same time, you're so much more productive. What if that one person gets sick? What if that one person has a kid or quits on you, God forbid? So if you do that, you have backups in place. It's a lot easier to replace. It protects you as an entrepreneur. It avoids putting yourself in a position where your business will stall. So overall, diversify as much as possible.
And I really love the idea of diversifying as much as possible, because obviously, as you mentioned before, one person can leave, and then that's a lot of trouble for finding another person and just figuring out what to do next. And one of the questions that I love asking guests on the show is, for a big challenge that you face in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
So I usually tell that other story for that, where I put all my eggs in one basket on a supplier. I put all my eggs in one basket on a worker. Both let me down on the same day. And I was able to rebound and really go forward. I mean, in terms of other, I've been fortunate enough where, outside of that one situation that I had in year 1.52, I haven't had that many downs. I mean, the businesses that I've started have been successful. The mistakes that I've had, I've really learned from it, and I've made some pretty horrible hires from people. I had a pair of twins once that pretended to be working at the same time when really it was just one of them working. I've had people who quit right before busy season, right before I was scheduled to make the most money that we make in a year. I've had people who have lied about their skill set and wasted lots of money and budget. People who have disappeared halfway through projects, and we've had to chase them across the world. So there's been a lot of small stories in there, but I mean, the biggest one that I had was the one where I trained that person. I had a supplier, both let me down on the same day. I ended up betting on myself and reinvesting the money I made back into the business that was really had to be start from scratch, learn the lesson of diversity, eventually had more suppliers than I ever had before. And within 6 months to a year, we were bigger and more protected than we'd ever been before.
Nathan, thank you for sharing those insights with us. And as a natural bookworm that I am, one of the things I love to do is read as many books as possible. So I was wondering if you could share with us three great books that you can think of that have a great impact on Breakthrough Success listeners.
Yeah, sure. So Delivering Happiness with Zappos, the Jeff Bezos book, and Start With Why. So Start With Why is one of my favorite because when I was selling on Amazon, which was really fun, especially in college, eventually I was starting to wonder why, and I couldn't really put my finger on why I was having those feelings. But eventually when you just sell product and there's really no purpose, you're just adding to your bank account and trying to move products and providing for your team and helping your manufacturers out, it got old after a while. It's one of the reasons that I'm slowly getting out of selling on Amazon and working out an agreement with one of my partners. Because there really just isn't a why for me anymore. And after doing it for a while, as an entrepreneur, you slowly learn that money isn't everything. And with FreeUp, it's so much different. I really have a why. I get to help businesses, thousands of businesses from all over the world, pursue their dreams. And these are people starting businesses, pursuing their dreams. And on the freelancer side, the freelancers are businesses too. And I get to help them get access to an incredible pool of clients that get to grow their business, and they get to focus on things they're passionate about and love doing and perfect their craft and provide for their families. I built incredible relationships. Every time I travel, I get to meet up with some random person in my network or some client that's used us before and just interact and learn about them and help them in any way I can. I get to attend conferences and speak in front of hundreds of people and influence their lives. So for me, the reason why is everything. Too many businesses focus on what they do and how they do it instead of why they do it. And it's something that I've learned recently over the past 3 years.
Nathan, thank you for sharing with us those three great book recommendations. And before I give you additional spotlight and just the opportunity to share with all of our listeners where they can find you on the web, I've been asking you a lot of questions. And I'm wondering, what is one question that you believe we should be asking ourselves more often?
That's a good one. My biggest thing is valuing your time. So the question you should ask yourself is, are you valuing your time at the highest possible level? Because the answer for so many entrepreneurs is no. They're doing things that are below their pay grade. They're doing things that aren't really helping to grow their company. They're maybe dealing with clients or accepting jobs that are below their value. So really ask yourself that every day. And if you're not really valuing your time at a high level and valuing the people's time around you at a high level, what changes can you put into your business or into your life to make that possible? Because the only thing you really have in this world is time. If you make a bad monetary decision, you can make up for it. But if you waste your time, you're not getting that back.
Nathan, thank you for sharing that one question for us that we should be asking ourselves more often, and for sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. And for all the Breakthrough Success listeners wondering, where can we find you on the web?
Sure. So if you go to freeup.com with three E's, it's free to sign up. If you mention this podcast, you get $1 off your first worker forever. You can book a free meeting with me right on the website. My calendar is right there. Pretty easy to contact. You can check us out on social media. We have an online hiring mastermind group that's free to join. And you can check out my book, Free Up Your Business.
Breakthrough Success listeners, all of those resources and the show notes will be at markgaberti.com/E59. Nathan, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
To never miss an episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on whatever player you are using. If you are a regular listener and haven't done so already, I would greatly appreciate it if you could give this podcast a review or a rating. Two ways you could do this are through markgaberti.com/iTunes or markgaberti.com/Stitcher. That ends this episode. Don't forget, dream big, achieve greatness, and unlock your potential today.
Want your tweets get retweeted to my 360,000 Twitter followers? All you have to do is say something nice about the Breakthrough Success Podcast and include the link markgubery.com/iTunes. Once you've posted that tweet, email me mark@markgubery.com and I will retweet your tweet to my 360,000 followers.
This podcast is a production done by Mark Guberti. For more insights, head on over to markguberti.com.